We shall turn to the Word of God in the book of Revelation and read in chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All are commanded to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. All are commanded and all are invited. Everyone is sweetly entreated to come to Jesus. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Some have the view that the Spirit and the Bride saying come are saying this in response to the Lord Jesus, who says, Surely I come quickly. And John the Apostle and the church joining him says, Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the desire of the heart of a child of God, that Jesus would come, the Lord would manifest himself, and as we considered earlier today, the Lord Jesus is coming. He is on the way, and there is nothing that will keep him back from his people. There is no delay, and all the events that are taking place are involved in his coming. They are simply steps of his majesty as he comes towards his people. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. And the church responds, Amen, so let it be. Come, Lord Jesus, do as thou hast said. And so here in our text, the view is that the Spirit and the Bride are saying to the Lord Jesus, Come. He says, Behold, I come quickly. And the church says, Yes, come, Lord. And let him that heareth say, Come. Those who have heard the word of God and obey it, let them also, the individual believers, say, Come to the Lord Jesus. And then in the midst of this longing that Christ would come to his people, there is a call to the sinner. Let him that is athirst come. Those who are thirsting for salvation, let them come to Christ. Let them come to the Lord Jesus. And whosoever will, let him come and let him take the water of life freely. And so in the midst of the desires that Christ would come to his people, there's also the desire that the sinner would come to Jesus. Another view is that the Spirit and the Bride are saying to the sinner, come. And that everyone is combining to press upon the sinner this invitation, come, come, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And so there's a descending climax. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Salvation is given to whoever would have it. If you wish, you may take it. That's the free invitation. That's the free offer of the gospel. If you desire this salvation, it's yours for the taking. So come then, whosoever will. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And the Lord helping us this evening, we will consider first the need of that water of life. The need of the water of life. We don't appreciate it because we don't see our need of it. So we will consider that first, the need of the water of life. And secondly, the offer of the water of life. This salvation through Jesus Christ, life and salvation, is offered to us. And thirdly, the actual taking of the water of life. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life. And then, in the fourth place, the freeness of the water of life. Let him take the water of life freely, without money and without price. This salvation is received freely. So the need and the offer and the taking and the freeness of the water of life. We begin with the need. Do you see your need of the water of life? And the fact is, we all need it. Why do we all need the water of life? Children, listen. Why do you need the water of life? Because you are a sinner. And I'm a sinner. And we all need salvation from sin. We are of ourselves dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We need life. And life and salvation by Jesus Christ is offered to us who are in need. We are all in need. We're all in need because we're all sinners. Do you know what it is to sin? What is it meant? What is meant by sinning? Sin is disobedience to God. As your catechism states, sin is the transgression of the law of God. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God, which is just telling us that we sin by way of doing things we ought not to do. We do things we should not do, and we sin when we don't do that what we should do. We are not giving the obedience to God that is due to Him. And we sin by omission and commission, omitting, holding back what is due to God, and sinning by committing or actually doing what is wrong, what He says not to do. And so we sin in thought, word, and deed, in our emotions, in our purposes, our desires. Sin taints everything that we do, say, and think. We sin in our work. We sin at home, at school, at church. We sin when we pray. We sin when we read, when we preach, and when we teach. Sin cleaves to us. Sin is real. And we are all sinners by nature. What does that mean? It means all our sin comes from within. Our inherent depravity, the fact that we are sinners in our hearts are corrupt, our hearts are polluted, black sin in our hearts. Our hearts are black. You can understand that. We need a clean heart. Only God can give us a clean heart. So we are told that we need the water of life, and we need it because we are sinners. And we are not able to save ourselves. Not able to save ourselves. When we are told that we need salvation, well, we think that we can do something to get salvation. When we hear that we are lost, we say to ourselves, we're going to find ourselves. We're going to reform ourselves. We don't recognize that salvation is free. Salvation is necessary, and salvation is only of God, and only He can save us. We cannot merit it. We cannot earn salvation. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But we need to realize that we are unwilling of ourselves to be saved. We don't have an inherent will to just exercise it of ourselves so that we can come to God and be saved. What our wills are saying deep within us is, depart from us. We are saying to God, go away from us. We do not want to know God. Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And do you think that God takes that lightly? That our hearts are actually saying that to God? Every sin that we commit is coming from a principle of sin, which in itself, in essence, is hatred of God. Does God think of that as no great matter? Does He think of it lightly, as a light thing? No, it is very serious. We have sinned against God, and we deserve His wrath because God is holy and righteous and love-worthy, and it's an awful thing to turn away from Him. And therefore, we deserve death. The wages of sin is death. If we continue without Christ, We will not be found in God's book of life. God has a register of all those who are saved. He knows every one of them. But if we do not repent of our sins, if we do not believe in Jesus, it's as if our names are just erased. Not in his book. And then we will experience all the plagues that are in the book of Revelation. All the awful threatenings, and the worst of all is to be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest, day or night, constantly, without end, going on and on and on, suffering in the torments and misery of hell. That is why we need the water of life. We need life and salvation through Jesus Christ. Do we see our need? Do we recognize what our sins deserve? Have we come to see it? And that it's no longer just an idea in our minds, but we feel it in our hearts. Our conscience being awakened. The Holy Spirit perhaps striving with us and showing us our sins. And the tendency, what we do by nature is resist that. And we try to drown out the voice of conscience. But have we come to realize this is our true condition by nature? And that we are like a barren desert. And we are dry and parched. Have we begun to see that our sins deserve the wrath of God, so that we feel the scorching rays of divine wrath against us? And we know something of what, we think we might know something of what the rich man said. He would like just a couple of drops of water. He would just like a drop of water to cool his tongue. Oh, how we need then the water of life. And how thankful we should be that it is presented to us in the gospel. And that it is held out to us for our acceptance. And we are invited to receive this water of life. Well, it is offered to us. In the second place, the offer of the water of life. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life is salvation through Christ. It is life, eternal life, life in its essence, life in the favor of God, life, spiritual and eternal, life and salvation by Jesus Christ. And that salvation is compared to water. Why is that? Because water is instrumental, or even the source of life, as a means. In other words, we cannot live without water. And water is also not only life-giving, but it is abundant. Water is copious. It's flowing to us. And so when we think about water in these ways, well, applying it to Christ, Christ is the source of life. And his salvation is flowing in our direction. And we have no need to worry that the life that is in Christ will be exhausted. There is no end to the life that he gives. It is life that shall never end. So Christ is the source of spiritual and eternal life. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is in Christ. Do you long to have this life? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And notice in verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This life is divine. It's from God. It's from the throne of God himself. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. He gives life. He gives to all life and breath and all things. He is the fountain of being, fountain of life. And no wonder then we're to go to him for that life and salvation. No other life will do for us. A temporary reformation, just turning over a new leaf in our life and going to church for a little while, that's not going to save us. We need Jesus Christ, who is God. The water of life comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And indeed, see how it comes from the throne. It's a throne of grace. Jesus has authority to give life. He said to his Father in his prayer, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Yes, he has authority to give life. He will save all who come to him. He has the power to give life. And he's offering that life in a sovereign proclamation, authority to dispense it, authority to give it, authority to proclaim it. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that this water of life is coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lamb, that brings before us the sacrificial death of Christ. He is the suffering Lamb, the Lamb as it had been slain, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world through his death on the cross. He gives life to sinners. There is life through his death. Did he not say that the Son of Man gave his life? He has come to give his life a ransom for many. He gives his life. Giving his life means giving his life over in death, so that because he gave his life in death, we receive life. The African lady, remember, said, "Either he die or me die. I deserve to die, but I see one who died. It's either him or me, but if he die, me no die. No, I will not die because he died on the cross." That was her hope. She was trusting in the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for sinners. And that is how we will receive life, by looking to Jesus, who was the substitute for sinners, who took their place and gave his life a ransom for many to secure their freedom by his death. His blood was the payment to purchase life for them, to set them free. He is the source of life, the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's through him that we are saved. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. By his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions." It's because of him who suffered and died that the water of life is flowing towards us, flowing towards us from the Lamb that was slain. So the water of life, the water of life, it is bringing before us this eternal and spiritual life that Christ gives. It is from him who is eternal. The eternal God is thy refuge. And Jesus himself is called the eternal life. So the life that he gives will never, never be extinguished. The water that he gives will never run dry. And those who are saved by him are saved with an everlasting salvation. The water of life is eternal life. Those who receive this life are forgiven, and their sins are cast into the depths of the sea. They are separated from them as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus said that those who believe in him, they have passed from death unto life. They will never come under condemnation. Oh, this precious water of life from the Lamb slain. And again, it's a pure river, bringing before us the spiritual life that he gives. Yes, eternal life that will never end, but also spiritual life within us, within the soul. A principle of life within us, which is holy. A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Think of that. Our black, polluted hearts being replaced with a clean heart, so that there is the purifying work with it going on within us. Oh, this is the living water that Jesus speaks about to the woman of Samaria. He says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So this water of life is life by the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And he gives, Jesus gives that water of life, that living water, that spiritual life in the soul. Do you desire that? Do you desire life in your soul, spiritual life? Life by the Spirit, a pure river of water of life flowing into your soul, so that the Lord Jesus makes us spiritually alive. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. He's working in us and he's enabling us, making us able to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. He makes us alive and active and working for the Lord. He causes us to grow spiritually, that we grow in humility as well as dependence on the Lord, and we grow in a longing to be with the Lord. That's all offered, the water of life. And it includes being satisfied, being replenished and upheld in our spiritual battles, fighting against sin, fighting against the world, fighting against our own flesh, as well as Satan. Water of life, so that we can drink again and again and be replenished and sustained in the spiritual conflict. The Lord Jesus gives, as I said, gives us satisfaction. He gives us comforts, so that as a cool, refreshing stream, we are satisfied in Christ. This is offered to us, life and salvation and delight and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. He refreshes us with his grace and with his love. All of this found in Christ. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does he mean to you? Children, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? What do you think about when you think of Jesus? Do you want him? Do you desire him? Do you desire the life that is in him, that your sins would be taken away, that you would not perish in hell, that you would go to heaven when you die? It's in Christ that you'll find life and salvation. Do you desire him? Do you want Christ? Well, he is offered to you. And he is saying to you, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There it is. That's the invitation to you. Do you want this life? Then take it. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In the third place, then, the taking of the water of life. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The one that is willing to do so, let him do so. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Surely this is telling us that the water of life is offered to all. Poor, lost, ruined sinners are invited to take the water of life for themselves. You might be saying to yourself, well, what is required? What is required in order to receive the promise? There are other promises that are made to grace. And that is, one is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But you might ask, am I hungering after righteousness? Am I thirsting after salvation? I hope I am, but I wonder if it's the right thirst. I see so much sin in me. Am I really thirsting after Christ and life and salvation in Him? Well, one answer may be, let him that is athirst come, is simply the person that is thirsting after satisfaction, not necessarily salvation. It certainly may be applied to that. Thirsting after Christ, come to Him, enjoy Him, your Savior. But there are other texts of Scripture which seem to be plain that the thirst that is spoken of is simply a desire for happiness. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. You may be thirsting after sinful pleasures, but you're longing for something to satisfy you. Well, come to the right source of satisfaction. Let him that is athirst come to Jesus and have his thirst quenched. And then it's as if the Lord is bringing it to the lowest point of reception, the lowest condition of desiring. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, the Lord makes it so simple for the sinner. Basically, if you wish to have it, take it. It emphasizes the freeness of the invitation. But on the other hand, it also does bring us to this necessary point, and that is that faith in Jesus Christ involves the will. And if we are to be saved, we must receive salvation freely. In other words, we must be willing to have it. Salvation or conversion consists in the willingness of the will. Or we might even say that faith consists of the willingness of the will to receive Christ on his own terms. Receive Christ on his own terms. In other words, we are to receive Christ not on account of anything that we have done, but receive Christ. We're not to change Christ. Well, that would be a horrible thing. Or to say, well, I'll receive Christ as my Savior and priest, but not as my King. No, we're to receive a whole Christ, prophet to teach us, priest to save us, King to rule over us. Receiving Christ, it's the willingness of the will. The will is made willing to receive Christ on His terms. In other words, salvation is not for something we have done. It's not just a partial Savior. And it's receiving salvation in a way that gives Him all the glory. And so we should ask ourselves, indeed, am I willing to receive Christ? Do I desire Him? Because faith involves desire. Faith includes desire for Christ. And it is to be content to be saved by Christ without our personal merit. What really that is saying is that we have come to an end of self, and it's as if we're falling into the arms of Christ, that He would be our Savior. So, believing in Jesus, we're thinking about faith for a moment, and believing in Christ, there's no other way to be saved. We must believe in Christ, and believing Christ is what? It is receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. All the children are memorizing questions and answers like that. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. And receiving Christ is being willing to have him. Willingness is included in the act of receiving. So we can very simply ask ourselves, am I willing to have Christ? Am I willing to have Christ? That's a question we should all ask ourselves. Are we trusting in him? Whosoever will you have him? Well, he's yours. If you're willing to have him, he is willing to have you. Now, you might be thinking of an objection. That is, this almost sounds as if it's making a qualification to salvation. And making a qualification out of our willingness. If you're willing, you can have Christ. But no, that's not making a qualification. It's not saying that you can bring something of your own to Christ and then he will save you. No, not any more than saying that you're holding out your hand to receive a free gift makes you deserve it or earn it. No one thinking rightly will say, well, that gift was offered to me and look what I did. I reached out, I put my hand forth and I took it. Therefore, I have earned that gift. No, that was simply the instrument of receiving it. The gift was free, absolutely free. But the person is not going to just throw it at you. It's placed in your hand. And so the Lord is dealing with us as responsible beings. We have wills. He's saying, will you have Christ? Wilt thou go with this man? As the servant or the friends of Rebecca said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will. The Lord is not going to force us against our will. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So he deals with us, all of us, as rational beings who choose and refuse. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you have Christ or will you reject him? See how we're responsible for our attitudes and actions? Yes, the Lord shows us we are responsible. Children, you are responsible how you respond to the word of God. Are you listening to God's word or are you going to throw it out again? Listen, receive. God is dealing with you. You will be held accountable how you respond to the word. But let's use it in an illustration to demonstrate the freeness of the invitation, and we'll come to that later on in the last head. But let's say that I have a tray of glasses of water, and I want to give it to people who are in my home or around my home, and so I offer it to so-and-so, and no, that person doesn't want it, too busy talking with friends, and I offer it to another. No, they wave their hand. No, thank you. Well, at last, I put the tray down. And I say, whoever wants a glass of water, take it. Is that putting an obstacle in front of anybody? Obviously not. It's free to all. And so it is in the gospel. And so it is in this text. Whoever wants the water of life, take it. And as John Calhoun says, it's the language of men or the language of humanity cannot afford words more expressive of a free and unlimited offer than those which are here employed. This is the very kind of way that everyone takes to make it clear as can be that this gift is for anyone who will take it. The fact is, no one is going to take it who doesn't want it anyway. But whoever would like it, it's yours. This is the free offer of the gospel. No, there's no obstacle being put in the way of anybody. If you don't wish to have it, then you're not going to take it. That's the fact. No one actually takes the water of life but those who are made willing to do so. That is true. Well then, pray that you would be made willing. Pray that the Spirit would make you willing in a day of his power to desire and receive the water of life, Jesus Christ, in life and salvation by him. God is not debarring you, my friend. He's offering it to you. If you would have it, take it. The question is not whether God is willing. The question is whether you are willing. And if you want it, you may have it. That is how free salvation is. What a wonder it is that God is not calling us to perform some kind of work in order to gain salvation thereby. No, it is offered freely. And someone has said, if you desire Christ, well, he is yours. He's yours for a desire. It may sound like you bring your desire, but no, it's just a way of speaking. If you desire Christ, he's already yours. But we might also add this as an illustration. You see, we're speaking as to the way that the invitation comes to us. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We can't deny that it's speaking to the desire, the will. It's as if the Lord is offering salvation to all without exception, but at the same time, reaching out in a special way to those who do have a desire to be saved from sin. So here's the illustration. I've offered the water to everyone. Set it on the table. Whoever likes a glass of water, take it. And then I see some poor, hot and thirsty person walk in the door, and I go to him immediately and say, friend, would you like a glass of water? Would you like to have it? He says, I sure would. Well, take it. That's the offer of the gospel. Would you like to have it? You want it? It's yours. That's how free. That's the invitation. Oh, take it then, friend. It is yours. As Rabbi Duncan said, or John Duncan, who was called Rabbi Duncan because he taught Hebrew, he was giving the bread at the Lord's table, and one poor woman was weeping and weeping, and she wouldn't receive the bread in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And Rabbi Duncan said, take it, woman. Take it, woman. It's for sinners. So you're to take this water of life. It's for sinners. You can bring no qualification. You are simply to come and get it. If you're willing to have Christ, he is yours. He is willing to have you. That's the wonder of it. You might say, but am I really willing? Well, then ask yourself, do you desire to be made willing? Perhaps you can start there. Do you desire to desire Christ? Is there nothing that would give you more joy than to know that Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you want this salvation? Well, recognize that he is more willing to receive you than you are to receive him. He is willing to have you if you will have him. Go to him with all your thoughts and experiences. Bring the whole matter to him. He is a willing Savior calling you. And if you are well pleased with this salvation, if you are resting on this salvation, Jesus Christ and him crucified, as your only hope, you may be assured this salvation is yours. Jesus is your Savior. He is your prophet and your priest and your king. If Christ is precious to you, then you are a believer. Christ is precious to you and sin is bitter to you. You desire a Savior from sin. He is your Savior and he will save you from your sin. So lay hold of his promise. He has promised. But justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace through his blood. And look to him. You have access to the Father through him. Go to him again and again. And in order to demonstrate, in order to emphasize the freeness of this invitation, let us go on in the fourth place to think of that, the freeness of the water of life, because he ends this invitation with this word, freely. Think of the word freely. The freeness of the water of life. Surely this word freely removes all doubt that the water of life is offered to everyone. Everyone without exception, all who hear the gospel, all who hear the gospel are required indeed to receive the water of life. And not only are they required, but they are warmly invited. And the word freely emphasizes that this salvation cannot be purchased. It can bring nothing to the Lord as a means of payment or a way to make God obligated to give it to us. No, the word freely means without cost. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely or without cost, without price. In other words, there's no qualification that you can bring to the Lord. And that includes even the willingness. You see, if we said that if salvation was only offered to those who had a sense of sin, well, that would make us look for evidences of conviction. Am I properly convinced? Only if I have a real sense of sin can I come to Christ and be saved. No, that's not the case. You're commanded to come to Christ as you are. And so if we said that Christ is offered only to those who are willing, Christ is only offered to those who are willing, well, that would make us look within. Am I willing? But the gospel does not tell us to look within. The gospel tells us to look without, to look outside us, to look to Christ, to look up, to look to God. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. We're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and not our own willingness or our own hearts. We're to go to Christ. This last word of this text tells us that salvation is absolutely free, freely offered, as free as can be. Certainly emphasizing that salvation is without works. It's not on account of works. If we're saved, God will give us grace to do good works. But we're not saved because of our good works. The Lord Jesus Christ has done all the work. He has obeyed the law perfectly. This righteousness, as I've been saying, is the ground of salvation, the righteousness of Christ. And it is a righteousness without the deeds of the law. As the apostle says, but now the righteousness of God without the law, that is without our doing the law, is manifested. It is the righteousness which is of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's how it's received. Christ and righteousness, salvation is by faith. It's received just believing, just receiving, just resting on him. Being justified freely by his grace. So it's not by works that we're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is free, and we're to take the water of life freely. And it is not because of any status that we have. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Don't say, well, I'm a Jew. Or I'm a Gentile, or I am rich, or I am poor, and it's only the poor who's going to be saved. No, all of that distinction, class distinction, race, ethnicity, it's all gone. It's all done away with. Let him take the water of life freely. It doesn't matter what age you are. You should not think that, well, I've reached a certain age, and beyond that age, there's not much hope for me. No, no, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no qualification. And there's nothing that says if you haven't sinned so much, you can come and get life for yourself. No, this salvation is for the greatest sinners, the worst sinners that ever lived. If they hear the gospel and they come to Jesus, they will be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This salvation is suitable to you, sinner. It is a salvation that is adapted to your need. And how fitting and right it would be for you to receive and rest on this Savior for your salvation. He is a sufficient Savior. He's able to deliver you from your guilt, able to put away your sin and cover you with His righteousness. He will satisfy you. He will make you happy, supremely happy for the rest of your life on earth and to all eternity. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Do you desire this life? Well, come and get it. It's yours for the taking. Don't bring anything as a qualification. Don't even bring your willingness. No, don't say to the Lord, "Lord, I see now that I am willing to come. And therefore, Lord, please save me because I am willing." No, that's not how we seek salvation. We come as poor, wretched, lost, ruined, undone sinners in need of Christ, and that's it. Not even say, "Well, Lord, I see now I need thee, therefore save me. Lord, I am hell deserving. Thou art a Savior of sinners. I know I'm a sinner. Thy word tells me so. Lord, please save me." Only for Christ's sake, only on account of His blood that cleanseth from all sin. The gospel proclaims salvation to all. Christ is available to all who hear of Him. And no one is excluded from this salvation but those who exclude themselves. If only we could really lay that to heart. We exclude ourselves. God is not excluding us. Everyone is invited, whatever their condition, to come and receive this salvation. Here is Christ freely offered. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Nothing is hindering you but your own unwillingness. That is what it comes down to. Well then, if that is your great problem, go to the Lord saying, "Lord, I know I'm not willing, but Lord, Thou can make me willing, and Thy grace and Thy power are my only hope." Go to Him. Let all those who have been made willing in a day of His power give Him all the glory for it. Never think that we can bring something of our own, or now that we have a stock of grace, we can expect God to help us in every duty. We need grace. We need free grace continually. And He's to have all the glory, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Let Him have all the praise and honor and glory. And let us be thankful that the Lord has sustained His people through another year. And it's all owing to this fact that the water of life is received freely. His grace is free. It's free grace. Some of the best words in the catechism have that ring, a special ring. Sanctification is of God's free grace. Justification is an act of God's free grace. Adoption is an act of God's free grace. It's all free. Let Him and let God's people continue to take the water of life freely. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I come quickly, and surely I come quickly." And the offer of salvation is put here at this, in this last chapter of God's Word, as it were, to show us that as the Lord has left earth and He's in heaven, He's present with by His Spirit, but He's not physically present. He has placed it on record for that the whole time between His first coming and second coming, He will have salvation presented to sinners freely. That whoever will have it, let him have it. Let him take the water of life freely. The Lord is sincere in offering this water of life to us. And he's assuring us that if we would just have it, it's ours. And on the other hand, he's emphasizing this to us because there's no new revelations. There's no further word after this. We're not to add to the word of God. This is it. This is his word to us. His invitation to us. Will we have it or will we reject it? There's not going to be any new revelations. And also, as he is coming soon, when he comes, the judgment day, the resurrection, the end of the world, after that, there will be no more offers of salvation. No more free invitations. That is the urgency of the matter. Come now and receive Christ. Oh, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Those who have heard the gospel obeyed, they should call you to come too. Friends and loved ones who are the Lord's people, urge your friends and loved ones to come to Jesus. Let him that is athirst come. Whatever you're thirsting after, come to Christ. He will meet your need. He will satisfy you. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Yes, come to him. Do you desire this salvation? Yes, says one poor soul. I want this salvation. I want it so much. It's all my desire. And it's all my hope. Well, friend, it's yours. It's yours. Go on rejoicing. The water of life is in your hands. Drink it and be glad. I will give to him that is athirst of the water of life freely. So rejoice in the Lord. Go on looking to him and lay aside every weight. And join with the Spirit and the Bride and say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, may we thirst after Christ. O Lord, may Christ be our Savior. And we may question whether we have any desire at all, but we know that Christ is offered freely. Oh, Lord, enable us to lay hold of him. Oh, that we would be found in him, that he would be all our salvation and all our desire. Oh, that we would see poor sinners being made willing in a day of power to come to thee. It is only by thy Spirit. We know that. Oh, that thou wouldst press thy truth upon souls, that they would be found looking to Jesus. And coming to him who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hear us now. Enable us to praise thee for thy gospel. Praise thee for sustaining us in this year that is coming to an end. O Lord, may we give thee all the glory and look to thee for light and strength in time to come. Hear us and accept us. Pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 36. Psalm 36 from verse 5. Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens. Thy truth doth reach the clouds. Thy justice is like mountains great. Thy judgments deep as floods. Thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy grace. Therefore, in shadow of thy wings, men's trust. Men's sons their trust shall place. They with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy pleasures thou wilt drink to them provide. Because of life the fountain pure remains alone with thee, and in that purest light of thine we clearly light shall see. And so on. We will sing these four stanzas to God's praise. Psalm 36 from verse 5. Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens.
Thy mercy, Lord, is in heaven.
Let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.